It was nice like this, feeling right like this. I never really spent no time like this, huh? He was doing it at that party. Huh?
Who is this?
Meek Mill.
No. Does he say huh like Common says AI?
AI! Huh?
DPS report!
Feel the vibe, it's contagious. Look in your eyes, shit is dangerous. Grateful I had all the patience. I know you going through some changes. You taking pictures, know your angles. No, we ain't perfect, but we damn close.
Damn close.
You give me something I can pay for. No angel, but you got a halo.
Let's give them something they can pay for.
That's what it's like loving you!
Hey, hello. What's up? I just looked at that. I thought that song was brand new, but I'm behind on everything. This shit was.
No, I've been
last
hearing
fall.
That for weeks.
50,
oh, last fall.
Meek Mill, more like 50 Jeez. Million views. Good God, came out in October or the video.
50 million views.
Holy mackerel! I was just saying, I fucking was listening to Jake. Fans sent me some like gym playlist stuff, and I checked
Jake
a little
Paul.
Bit out. I was listening to some J. Cole. That used to be when I used to go to the gym. That's how I got into J. Cole. Like I'm doing Mac Miller and shit now.
J. Cole.
So I was just going back, and
we're
then I'm
saying,
like, oh.
We're saying it weird, like.
There's this new song, Middle Child.
Putting emphasis on the J.
It's supposed to be J. Cole?
Right.
I thought it was J. Cole.
J. Cole.
It's like how my girlfriend says Marlon Brando.
Oh, my God. That's the worst.
Like, what? Who are you talking about?
We really need to sit her down.
It's the TPS Reports podcast, everybody. How are you?
Okay, what's up?
If you're the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, you're not doing well.
You are engulfed. Flames engulf.
Yeah, dude.
Special report. Flames
Notre
engulf.
Notre Dame is falling down, falling down, falling down.
Am I supposed to give a shit? Is everyone okay? Is there any fatalities?
I mean, look, you're looking at the footage right now, and it's look. It looks like a roller coaster, American Eagle at Six Flags. It's like wood, you know? It's not like this shit's a century old.
Can you imagine
old,
if you were like
centuries.
A little boy? About to get, like, the priest has his hand on your knee, and
imagine.
Then the fire alarm.
I was an altar boy. I imagine.
And then the fire alarm goes off, the relief.
Yeah.
That oh. It must have happened to at least one kid in there. Come
I'd rather
on, the
almost
huge.
Burn
Look
to death than take it up the rear one more time for Father What's-His-Face.
Woo!
I was an altar boy. I don't know if I've ever gotten into that, but for, like, it was actually, what's sad about it?
You have, but you didn't get touched, so it's really not interesting.
Not interesting, mm-hmm. You know? You could do the whole hack
it's
bit of,
lame.
Like, oh, I was jealous of the other kids. But, like... Yeah, it was just I was raised in a we go to church every now and again type of family. And you know what's fucked up? I remember becoming an altar boy was ultimately sort
becoming
of coming ultimately held over my head by my ma as like it was almost like punishment. I did something shitty because I was
right,
a shitty
like
kid.
Military school.
And it was like either you do this or you can contribute at the church right. Or you're going to go here. And I was like, "All right, I guess I'll go do the church." Cuz I would go to church on weekends, off, you know, holidays.
Right, that's what you
want
to do as a parent trying
yeah.
to instill Christianity in your kid is
oh,
associate
yeah?
it with punishment.
Yeah. Now you're fricked. You fricked up this time.
You
want to
get your
to
kid, ideally, if that's your goal, you want to get your kid to a point where punishment is like, you can't read the Bible tonight.
Right.
But Mom!
Yeah, like Ned Flanders' kids. Not my family.
We don't want Rod and Todd's.
We want Ron's and Matt's.
Right. Right.
So we're back. We're doing things.
We are thinging it up.
I don't know what's new with you, but my most recent news is that I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you suck.
Which isn't news, ironically.
That's like when Fox is doing like a story from yesterday, but it still says breaking news.
Yeah.
We know.
It's going to be this footage tomorrow.
We
like,
know.
The church is still burning. So here's something I've started doing frequently. On accident, because I'll make a smoothie pretty frequently. Like, I'm a
cut
smoothie guy.
Were you shaving? Did you cut your peen?
I mean, that'll happen, too, sometimes. Rough.
I was shaving my peen, and I realized I was using a vegetable peeler.
An apple peeler.
And then I was fucking peeling an apple with my Schick razor. Like, ugh. Get it all backwards, you guys.
When I'll clean the fucking... My blender's a piece of shite. I want to get a new blender. It just sucks. It, like, it's bad at blending. It doesn't do its job. Mm-hmm. So...
It being bad at blending is all you need to need a new blender.
Yeah, and then on top of that, so I'll once just total
you need to stop it
it's bad at blending.
Airhead, I'm like washing it. I'm washing it out by hand. I don't have a dishwasher,
like
so I'm washing
your hand
by
hand. In it to try and spin
no, I just
it
like lose. I'm like kind of scraping, rubbing, you know,
do
up
I have
and down.
One hand?
I'm scrubbing, and then I scrub down, and I directly shove my fingertip onto the blade. Right?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
So I've done that. I have like mini scabs on several fingers because I've done it so fucking often now. And now I have to like when I wash the blender, I just approach it with a new. Like I'm just gentle. I'm quickly washing plates, and then it gets to the blender. Now I'm like, all right, me and you, bud. So then I do that. The other day, my girlfriend makes a cup of coffee, which I like. I was aware of, but I was working on some other shit.
Braggart.
So I get up and I notice that the base of our coffee thing is like kind of look. It's like it needs to be wiped down. It's like look, got that little burn residue type of shit. I was just like, this looks like.
Right.
I don't know. There's shit on here that might be burning. It's
the
just
carafe?
The bottom, like the hot plate. It looked like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You need to wipe that down. So I go and get like a wet wipe thing and then go to wipe it down and press my hand. It's still on. It's still burning hot. So I ultimately pressed my hand just directly onto a hot plate.
As a child does, like on a grill.
Yeah.
Because their brain...
I was pretty
small.
Hard on myself for that one because I knew it was on. I wasn't really aware that she was making coffee, but I just saw that and I can't wait. I have no patience, so I'm like, let me clean this right now.
Psst,
on the hand I just cut up, and then I went out. I went to the gym or something, and I came home later, and we're making dinner. And you know how you take like the bottom styrofoam of the chicken or something, maybe turn it upside down. You press the garbage down to make a little more room for shit. I do that, and I didn't realize that while I was gone, she also
made... find like a big object that isn't covered in garbage gook.
Yes,
to press down the rest of the garbage, or you could just use your foot.
True. So I was using my hand with something. So I didn't realize that there was like a. She made spaghetti or something for lunch while I was out. There was a can, like a Popeye spinach lodged. So I pushed down, and the can lid, razor sharp, just cuts right through the styrofoam and into my thumb now. And I'm like worried.
Chills.
So it's like, and this
was feeding my dog once when I was.
This was
like
all
11.
In 24 hours too. Like all this shit. I'm just like, I'm a fucking idiot. I can't stop burning and cutting my hands up.
I was feeding Shemp once and went to pull the can lid off and did that.
Yeah.
And ever since, like, I can't handle a can lid without thinking of that and getting, like, at least a small chill of, like, watch it.
Yeah.
Don't do
I
the
said
thing.
Last week when I was a dumb kid and I was trying to make the cloth for my wrestling set and I just put my finger upside down on a knife. That's, like, what I've been doing all week since last week is just cutting my hands up and blatant.
I burned my hand the other day.
Stupid.
I do those coffee... my coffee cinema.
Yeah, eventually you're gonna start.
I was holding my phone in one hand and pouring the boiling water into the coffee, the press,
right,
with the other, and with the phone with the hand. I was getting too carried away with like, let's get this angle, let's get it in here.
Of course,
poured boiling hot water all over not just my hand but my phone.
Stupid.
So then I gotta because you know. Phones are, that's a hot commodity. I can't live without my phone.
Right. How could you?
I have to worry more about my phone than, I have to tend to my phone first.
Before you're burning
before my
skin.
Hand.
Sure.
Because I got cracks in this thing. You know, water gets in here. It's fucked.
Like Artie and the Sopranos and the pasta sauce. You're just, your whole skin is like peeling off with a burn. It's like, let me fix my phone. Well, also, yeah. I mean, when we lived together, I remember these were the beginning days of your coffee video series, and I'd watch you, like, do reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got a wrong pour,
people don't know.
You might rewind and be like, nah, fuck that, I'm
sometimes
re-pouring the coffee.
There's nothing more irritating.
I'll put it back in the pot to re-pour it out.
Usually, it's not something on my end that, like, I filmed it wrong or I was too shaky or anything. Usually, it's this fuckhead, asshole, piece of shit thing.
Oh.
And you record it, and then it goes to... You take your finger off, like you're done recording, and it's just a goddamn picture. Has this ever happened to you when you don't update your shit? You go to like record a video.
Sure.
And it just doesn't capture.
Sometimes.
It's the worst.
Yeah, my phone won't do boomerangs anymore. Just like,
so you got to update.
Yeah,
not,
I did.
Not your phone. Go to apps. And
no,
you
I did.
Most likely have to update Instagram.
Dog, I did.
You have to update Instagram once every 3 days.
Yeah. This is, there's, normally we do fan questions much later, but I'm going to jump to this one right now because I think we're already starting to answer it.
Wagwan, Palmer Squares.
Wagwan.
My name is Chris. I'm from England.
England.
I would like
to
know the English homie
was doing
from here on henceforth.
Like,
he doesn't sound as English as he should.
When he said Palmer
like,
Squares,
Wagwan,
I was like,
buddies.
What is this guy doing with his voice? I just wouldn't assume that we'd have a listener all the way on the other side of the drink. What's up? What's up, dude?
My question to you guys is, Shit. Fucking hell, I should have rehearsed this. Okay. I'm currently going through counselling for my anger issues, and one of my things that really gets my blood boiling is disrespect and shit. Like, yeah. So, what gets you guys to the point of wanting to fight someone, or just really, really angry in general? Thanks. Keep doing shit. Love you guys forever. Bye, Z's.
Very matter of fact. Thanks. Keep doing shit. Goodbye. Forever.
Cheerio.
So yeah, like,
is cheerio a goodbye?
Anger issues, which I definitely have some. When I talk about when I was a kid, I'm way better now. Like, I still will kind of lose my shit over minor things. It's usually like having to do anything twice.
Right.
Like, if I edit a video or something, and then it's let's just say it doesn't save or whatever, it has to be redone, even though like I took
bitch ass Instagram take the video.
And I feel like
you
for you
it take the video.
For you, it's got to be just anything with your
electronics.
Cell phone. Electronics. You want to?
I mean, look at my phone. It's only cracked in all the places it's cracked because I throw it. Because I hate it. It's the worst thing that ever happened in my life.
Mine's,
but I can't not have it.
Mine's only
which
cracked.
Makes me hate it even more.
Mine's still cracked from the girl in the Batman outfit that dropped it on
you
No More
bitch.
Jobs tour. I still have that phone, and now. Like the jack you saw on the tour, like my headphone jack will just spit out anything. I can't listen to music while I'm driving off my phone unless it's Bluetooth. I can't keep a headphone jack in it.
I saw Nipsey Hussle talking about this. It's called Moore's Law.
Okay.
Right?
The Moore's.
The Moops Law.
All right.
It's basically just it's planned obsolescence. Apple is like the kings of planned obsolescence. We make this fucking... this greatest... It's at the time we release it, it's the best thing on the planet in terms of it... its thing, what it is, it's a phone or a laptop or whatever. But we make it so that in 1 year from today, it'll fucking suck balls compared to whatever we're selling a year from
today. Yeah, it's got a shelf life. You're just like, this is going to shit the bed at a certain point, but we're already ready with the next one. We could just give them the next one now, but we may as well give them five versions that are going to shit out.
Fucking
capitalist cocksucker.
Pieces of shit.
But yes, I love my phone and I need it.
Can't live without it.
I mean, yeah, he says... he gets his blood boiling, his disrespect and chit, and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, mm-hmm. I said before, I was telling my boss story, like, unaccountability. Somebody who, like, is the wrong person, and even when I'm wrong, it takes, not that I've always fessed up, you know, and been the most accountable dude in the past, but I've also, like, been burned so many times by people that just, like, didn't seem to give a fuck, or people at my old job that was just like, why am I doing this? And, like, yeah, somebody that just won't even ever bother to be like, oh, my bad. Or something. They just can't do it. I used to have a friend in high school that would like, he was my good friend. And then at a certain point, he'd be like, hey, you want to hang out later? And he'll be like, yeah, for sure. And then like, he wouldn't hit me up.
Tim?
So, you had a friend too.
Well, he was our dealer.
He just couldn't
he
say no.
And he lived on something called Tim Time.
Right.
Where, you
I mean,
know.
It's drug dealer time. And he was that.
Right.
I think anybody who's got a weed guy understands that like, it's usually like 3 hours after when they say they're going to drop it off or you can pick it up or whatever. They're busy, and they're also stoners. They're running around doing things. But yeah, he just couldn't tell me, like, no, man, not tonight. So I would, like, still, like, leave a chunk of time and be like, all right, well, what about, like, later? 9:30, come on by. I'd be like, for sure. And then, like, it's 10:30, and he wouldn't hit me. I'm like, why don't you just say I can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? Dude, I'm thinking of also a drug dealer.
Fuck.
We just were all drug dealers in school. We all sold our weed to nobody, and somehow that worked for us for a year.
Everybody tried it until the last person, then there was no one to buy anybody's
weed. They were Apple. They were the capitalists just phasing out all the rest of us,
fuckers.
And now they're still there with product. So the only other thing...
weed dealing at our high school was like some weird pyramid scheme. It was like, I'll get you the ounce... You know, I don't know where to go.
I'll get you.
I smoke too much of my supply.
So I watched Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Or I could have done Walk the Line.
I'd never
I don't
seen
know how
it.
That one goes.
I'd never seen it. I just came up a while ago, and I wanted to watch it. So I just watched it. And
I don't see Joaquin Phoenix as a Johnny Cash.
I mean, he's a great actor. Like, the Joker trailer just came out. He's going to be the Joker now. And he's just like,
right.
I feel like even if I'm not super give a fuck.
Ruth plays his mom.
Really? Nice.
Yep.
But he is a good actor. And even if I don't give a fuck about
the shit,
Batman, I will watch his shit.
I did not like the thing. Remember when he was doing the rap thing?
Oh, yeah.
And then it turned out to be fake.
Yeah, I wasn't into that.
And we watched the documentary.
Shtick. Yeah. I don't remember watching that or what. But I remember that whole
thing. But
that
what I hated
gimmick.
Was that he had, like, no confidence in it when they made the movie. So he, like, revealed upon its release that it was all fake.
So tell
it's the... like, well, now I'm watching it, and I know that it's all fake.
Back up. What do you mean? Like, what was the... People
Casey
might not
Affleck
know this shit.
Directed a documentary about Joaquin Phoenix trying to launch a rapping career.
And for a while, it was a publicity stunt. Well, like, it didn't seem like it. It was like, he quits acting to be a rapper. And it's like, what?
I'm... not here. I'm still here.
Yes.
One of them's a Bob Dylan movie, isn't it?
Yeah, the other one.
Right. It sucked. Balls.
I don't remember the movie.
Three
I remember
balls.
The
it sucked two of one guy's balls, and then it called
they
over
had to, they had
another
call a friend
guy,
in.
And it sucked his one of his balls
they
had also.
A bench player.
It sucked both of your balls and Keith's ball.
Nice. So. Walk the Line was like a fine movie, but I think the working title for that must have been just White Ray. It's just White Ray.
Right.
Everything from the kid dying in
first?
The beginning, Ray, a year earlier. And that's where I'm saying. I think this is bigger because, first of all, I guess they have similar stories. They both like lost a brother or, you know, like have a traumatic childhood moment that shaped how they were kind of crazy in adulthood. Mm-hmm. Both have addiction. Ray is heroin, and then Johnny Cash
both
goes speed.
Both had a dick.
So it's speed, it's uppers versus downers there. The way they treated their women and stuff is that's another thing is like the whole like they make a big Hollywood ending out of him finally getting with June Carter or whatever, and he like he's so uncomfortable about it, and he like asks her, she says no all the time, like I don't want to marry you, and then they do a song together, and he's like in front of everybody now asking again, and he even says like I done asked you 50 damn times, you can't say no again. He's like really forcing the issue on her, and she doesn't want to do it, and then she does, and then it's like they went on to be married for 30 years. Like I guess they were happy, but. He just, like, would not let up. It was, right. like, the opposite of a no means
persistence,
no.
Dude. Persistence yeah. pays off.
I mean, I guess if, you know, the love is there and you really want to try to prove yourself, sure, you know. That's how things have worked with me in the past. A girl wasn't really feeling me, but then I, like, tried again, asked her out, did something nice for her, and then she's like, you know what, let me give this guy a shot. That's not what he did. He was just like, marry me, but he's falling down drunk and high on speed and fucking everything up, and she's like, no, you're a mess. He'd be like, God damn it, marry me. And he's like, no. And then he brings out in front of 3,000 people, and she's like, I done asked her 40, 50 times. Like, he embarrassed her into marriage, you know, and she's like, I can't fucking say no right now. It's kind of weird. But what I noticed, too, is, like, I think it's just Hollywood trends. As similar as their successful musician, but, like, dark personal life stories are, one movie came out in 2004, and then one movie came out in 2005. The movies themselves were very similar. And, like, Ray was a good movie. So, like, Walk the Line was a good movie. It's almost like Hollywood. They pick up these trends. Like, once they sell the script for Ray... other people must start buying up, like, the other scripts. Like, oh, that's what's going to sell right now. Like, Bohemian Rhapsody and now the Elton John. And, like, they just kind of hit these waves
same
in Hollywood,
director.
I think. Okay. But were they written? Was the script
well,
the
I think
same person?
Elton John movie is directed by the guy who replaced the Bohemian Rhapsody director. Not the rape guy.
Right.
You
singer.
Know?
I just think it's
but as a director, would you think you'd get bored? Like another fucking true story about a gay singer.
Yeah, one trick pony type shit. But also, like, I think
who had a wife.
When Bohemian Rhapsody does well, and like when that script gets picked up, and then there's buzz in Hollywood, like before we see it as a viewer, I think that's why. Like, even the whole like a trend in what's that shit? Like Happy Death Day, and then there was Russian Doll on Netflix, like within a year, and it's like the same
the Groundhog
premise.
Day.
Yeah, dying over
genre.
And over. Yeah, it's like
Frication.
That's. I think, like, there must be some trends or something, and that's, I don't know, I'm just thinking too deep on it, but they were both good movies, but
all,
I'm like,
dude,
no, dude, this is White Ray. This is White Ray.
Everything in media and entertainment is calculated to the fucking umpteenth degree, is that it?
So, like, you see, even, like, Memento and Irreversible came out in the same year, and I think that one's more of a wash. Like, I don't think there was so much of a Hollywood trend, but, like,
yeah,
you will notice that things...
French?
People, Hollywood just keeps jumping on waves of, like, that's what people are buying this year? Let's make 50 of them, mm-hmm. You know? And I think that's what... When you see the trend of, like, gay musician biopic, like, this happening now, like, there might be a third one in this. They're going to try and milk that while Bohemian Rhapsody set a bar. And it's almost like as soon as you sell the script for Ray, they're like, well, we got a Johnny Cash story that's, you know, his brother died and he was an addict too. Like, let's make, I don't know. It just, how much are like we just kind of being controlled as the viewer too, of like, oh, like we know what you want this year, so we're just gonna spoon feed you all these different fucking styles of the same shit. It's like Taco Bell reinventing the menu, like, no, the nacho burrito dip. It's like, that's all you got is fucking nachos and burritos and shit. They just keep rebranding the same shit over and over again. I think that's Hollywood in a nutshell. Hollywood is Taco Bell, is my point. Thank you. Thank you. I was just kind of astounded at how similar the filmmaking was. I mean, maybe this is just my filmmaker background looking too deep into it, but they were very similar movies, like structure, story, arc, the whole thing. And it's like, I get there's similar elements to their lives, but how are these movies so like the same?
Yeah, once something is deemed successful, there's an urge to turn that one successful thing into a genre of its own. Just
another thing, they had a, I didn't even really try to watch it, but first was A Quiet Place. You can't hear or whatever the audio. And then there was Bird Box. Can't see. And then they put this dumb shit on Netflix called The Silence, which is their Quiet Place. But it's now of like, you see the monsters instead of not seeing them the whole movie like Quiet Place. It's just like they're picking up on like, oh, this is, let's remove
Netflix
a sense and that's scary.
Netflix has done a lot of like, it's like what fucking the Sci-Fi Channel does, you know, when there's a big...
Sharknado?
Or like when there's a big, like The Rock has a Rampage. I don't know if there's any proof of this, but like Rampage, the one with the big gorilla guy, you know, and then they'll put out a movie of like big gorilla guy.
King Kong.
Or that.
And there's like three Avengers movies in a year and a half. I don't know. Just fucking, it's just waves. And I was, I don't know, I guess.
Like Sci-Fi would always put out like the, remember like Select Cola, you know, of like the RC version of that year's Coca-Cola, you know?
Yeah, the blind taste test. Is it Pepsi or Coke or other? I remember that shit.
Right, that's what Netflix is on.
Well, either way, I watch all the shit, so it's working. It's just like, If you'll end up watching it, you know, I guess I have, I'm in tune to like the dumb horror movie. I like dumb horror shit, so I watch all this trash, but I'm like, it's all the same. And then you'll see like a Quiet Place, the most original movie. I'm like, well, it's not. And then everybody copied that, which already wasn't original. It's just sort of like, fucking stinks. Just let me watch Ray. Just give me Ray. Call it a day.
Yeah, I wonder what control, if any, filmmakers have over like the hyperbole used in selling their picture. I'd imagine none.
Probably not.
But I don't think it helps when you call the new horror movie like the best horror. There's like a poster. Somebody went into Photoshop and made the graphic and then sent it over to a printer who then distributed printed final products of a thing. There's so much thought
that's
went into
it. It's a double-edged sword too. That whole like, and this is the best. The best is
the best horror movie of all time.
So if it isn't the best, it's hard to live up to that expectation that the media and the trailers will put out there of like 100% fresh, the most original, creative, the best.
Taxi Driver.
That gives you a lot of pressure. So when it flops, or if it doesn't flop and everybody starts talking about like, oh, like I got duped. I went and saw this because everyone said it was the best and I didn't really dig it. So that kind of sucks. And then the other way is, if it is the best, you're Orson Welles. You're fucking Citizen Kane. You're held to your standard of the best. And then that dude made movies for like a half a century after that, but no one fucking liked him. And they never took him seriously because they're like, well, let's talk Citizen Kane. Tell us about... It's like, well, I'm moving on, you know? So if it is the best, now you can never recover from what everybody viewed as like your apex. She's like, oh, well, now that his album's not as good as that other one, that's the best thing ever. Like, you know, he's never going to make another Citizen Kane.
Sam Mendes did American Beauty. It was his first film.
Yeah.
Best picture.
Yeah.
Probably best director.
Where's he at now doing cameos on Entourage 7 years ago? That's where he's at now, 7 years in the past.
I don't know what the fuck his last thing was. I know he did Road to Perdition after, which was actually really good. But yeah, it's you're constantly, if the first thing you did is some like groundbreaking, critically acclaimed shit,
you're fricked.
Like, pretty fricked.
Yeah.
It's a good chance.
Speaking of fricked, I have this news story I saved as I wanted to share with you. Headline, man sues parents over his massive pornography collection. Do you want to hear about this?
Yeah, because what's he suing over his collection?
Right.
What, do they
and
get rid
the
of it?
A Michigan man, not a boy, not you know, a dependent. A Michigan man is suing his parents after
Does
they
say how old?
We'll get there. I think, is suing his parents after they destroyed his extremely valuable porn collection.
Extremely valuable. Well, this sounds like it's a physical, not like a folder on a computer.
Right, they didn't trash a folder.
Which, if they trashed a folder and it was important enough for you to be suing them, I think they did you a favor.
This is like we were talking about a week or two ago of like
important enough to you.
The porn evolution. You know, this guy's from probably before our time, because the way he's got his collection stacked, this is no digital shit. It says in a lawsuit filed last week, the plaintiff.
I mean, if they were like vintage magazines, that's.
The plaintiff identifies as Charlie, recently moved to Indiana after living with his parents in Michigan for 10 months. He had just gotten over a divorce and was able to work around his parents' home in exchange for rent. A domestic situation forced him out in August 2017. A few months later, his parents drove to his Indiana home.
Forced him out of where? Wait.
Something happened to where he couldn't...
live with his ex?
Right.
Wife?
They were having a divorce.
Maybe she found...
Yeah.
His plethora of pornography. So you think that might have been something that led to this?
So after that divorce began, his parents drove to the home in Indiana to give him some belongings he left at their home. Only one thing was missing, his gargantuan porn collection that consisted of more than 12 moving boxes of adult films. Charlie says his parents told him they destroyed the entire collection. Upset, he called the Ottawa County Sheriff's Office, filing a police report that estimated the value of his collection at $28,940.
Yeah, $28,940. It's probably the question your wife asks. How much have you spent on this shit? Oh, enough for us to have like mortgaged our house? How much is it to mortgage a house? I don't even know.
We counted 12 moving boxes. It's
probably more than $28,000.
12 boxes full of pornography plus 2 boxes of sex toys, as you call them. We began that day the process of destroying them, and it took quite a while to do so, his parents wrote. Would they burn it? Like, to go through 12 boxes of VHS tape?
Wait, is that what it said? They were all VHS, or was there like magazines?
No, it just says of pornographic video and sex toys, as you call them. But still, like his
sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So he had a sex collection, ultimately, between media, between media and like erotic toys. A month after he filed the police report, Charlie scolded his father in an email. If you had a problem with my belongings, you should have stated that at the time, and I would have gone elsewhere. Instead, you chose to keep quiet and behave vindictively. His father said he destroyed them for Charlie's own good. Believe it or not, one reason why I destroyed your porn was for your mental and emotional health, his father said.
Right.
I would have done the same if I found a kilo of crack cocaine.
As
someday
if you're
you'll
torching
understand.
It like, now he's not going to get to enjoy jerking off. Like, they're clearly doing it out of concern for their baby.
Or they're just super religious.
Who's spending way too much time beating his meat.
But let's not judge the man. What if the way that I'm into, you know, I don't know, music or tech decks, like I collect something. Let's say I'm a DVD collector just of movies.
Yeah, but you're not trying to at some point in your life have a relationship with someone else that might lead to marriage based in a large part based on your guys' chemistry and tech decking and stuff.
Sure. But at what point is $30,000 of value valuable and you're going to hold somebody accountable for...
No, I get...
Destroying it, no matter what it was. It's not illegal to own that shit. It's not like child porn.
I get that he's suing them. It's just like to say that it was, what did he say, vindictively or something?
Yes, father was acting vindictively.
You know, it's the way people characterize the stuff they don't like it's intentionally demonic and
it's
evil.
$30,000
towards them. Right, but like he wasn't doing it out of hatred for...
I don't think he's suing his parents out of hatred. It's out of financial, like, you fucking took $30,000 of belongings, so why don't you pay that back, asshole mom?
I 100% see where the parents are coming from.
Okay, let's go. You know what?
And I'm not really... I can't say that if I was in their shoes, I might not have acted, but I get that they destroyed something of a pretty reasonable value.
I'm going to bite my tongue and skip ahead a little bit because it says, according to his father, Charlie's addiction turned into a small porn business during his high school and college days. He was reportedly kicked out of high school and college for selling porn to other students.
Wasn't that like Jared from Subway?
Yeah, but he did kids. That's not cool.
Yeah, but didn't they find out that like in college he used to be like the porn guy who would hook people up with, like, he had the whole stash? And
it just said that this guy wants to be referred to as Charlie. Maybe it's Jared. He goes by Charlie
the
now.
The go-to guy. There was this girl in middle school, Meg, And she was like, if you needed gum, you would go to Meg. You know, and Meg, if she was at her locker, just had like all sorts of gum and you can buy it off her.
Young entrepreneur.
Ran a little gum business, you know?
Little gum biz.
My buddy Kyle used to show up like drunk to school in like sixth grade.
He was ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time. He used to like eating Corsetins and shit. He used to take a water bottle and then go to his parents' liquor cabinet and just pour like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then he'd just have like a water bottle of like a like a suicide,
yeah,
of liquor,
a suicide, liquor, some stuff under the sink,
a liquor suicide,
yeah,
and then he would stash it under a tree across from our middle school. And
okay, so he's still watching cartoons
on his way to school. He would go. It was a huge, like pine tree. Yeah. Where a kid can, like, go into the inside of it, you know? And you can't see him from outside.
Right.
And he would, like, go in there, like, a little fort and have, like, a bottle stashed and then, like, swig it a bunch on his way to school and then...
God damn. How hard was his life as a kid?
Sixth grade. I remember.
And he was. I mean, he became all of our friend, but he was like your best friend before
best
you
friend.
And I were besties. You know,
I was the
but
punk
you,
rock kid.
You didn't drink and
kid.
Smoke yet, you know. So that was a weird odd couple dynamic.
Every weekend, he would come stay at my place, or I'd stay at his place, and we'd
what
stay
did the sleepovers
up
look like between your places?
We'd hang out. Well, he'd smoke wherever we were. He would like hang out my window and smoke and shit. If we were at his place, he had like the gravity bong behind his couch.
You didn't judge him in your young years. He was just
no.
your friend.
I never partook. But he would always smoke. I look back on it like, come on, bro. I should have taken a hit. We would watch like Pimp My Ride and eat yeah. ramen.
When you're that age, you don't realize it's
Why
too young.
Why wouldn't I be high?
When you are the same, even though he's already doing shit and you're not, you're still too young to realize like, he's too young to be doing this. He's in sixth grade. Even like most
people. He handled it well. He got good grades.
I think the first time I got drunk, I was like 15.
He's like past it now. You know, by the time he was a young adult in his 20s, was like over tripping and... over excessive partying and shit. He's like, he got it all out of his system. He got good grades.
Yeah.
I think it was fine what he was doing.
I encourage all sixth graders listening to go out there and bury a bottle
if
of booze.
If you can handle your shit, handle it, man. But yeah, I remember him coming into school, sixth grade, and coming right up to me, breathing in my face. Like, it's hilarious thinking back on the drunken... Like,
smell my finger, but it's just vodka. You're like, ew, what are you doing?
On, like, drunken behavior of what was a child. I mean, I was a child, too. But looking back and like, how a drunk guy, like, has... is just very awkward, like, no personal space shit. It'll just, like, get all up in your face. Like, how's my breath? did one of those to me and, like, snapped my head back of, like, ew.
Yeah, you gross little shit.
And, yeah, I just remember his go-to of, like, all right, where's Meg? Just, like, beeline for Meg's locker to get some gum.
This should be, like, a Pen 15 but for boys show. A fucking going to Meg's locker for a pack. We have some fan questions. We could jump into that. Uh-huh. This guy. Who's this guy here? Thomas. Thomas O'Day.
Thomas, the engine...
He
train.
Says,
choo choo.
I've been listening for years and following the podcast since it started. No More Jobs Tour album is probably in my top five favorite albums.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Well, you want a cookie?
Thanks. I got a couple things I wanted to let you guys know. One, every time I see this Quicken Loans ad, I think Black U-Mental because this guy looks just like Ack to me. I pulled it.
So it's like guy. Dwayne Wade.
I look like Dwayne Wade. So there you go. We're both from Chicago.
I don't see it.
I kind of see it. I mean, I don't know. Do you have your do-rag on you? Can I try that on
Fuck.
And see how I look?
The one day I leave my do-rag at
you
home.
You know what? It's the beard before I grew this shit out a little bit. It's just stereotyping bearded men. And he's got a little bit of the Acumenal smirk. A little bit of X signature.
I don't see any smirk. He's doing the
he's
normal
smirking.
Black guy,
Are
like, don't
me?
Smile in the picture face.
He's doing the black guy trying not to smile. That's a smirk. He's smirking, dog. Angela's smirking.
All right, I see a little bit of smirk. It's like a Mona Lisa.
Black U-Mental. If only I could go by that. So what else you got? Something about something here. Oh, and he says, this compliment battle is top tier. Skip about 8 minutes and blah, blah, blah. We talked about compliment battles before. And since we talked about that, we've had a few fans reach out and think we should do that. You know, at this point, the more people send me shit, the more I realize it's played out. You know. But I've never seen a rap battle in general, compliment or otherwise, actually. I realized that was like from overseas. So he sends this is just a short clip, but Shuffle T and Marlo versus Big J and Lefty. Don't flop compliments.
Big J, you got people telling you your type's dead, just a single-syllable two-bit rhyme head. Fuck them! Only you do your style best, it's amusing, plus the execution's priceless.
So does he get a seal of approval signed?
Yes, because you stick to your guns like you glued your biceps. You're funny as fuck, that's how you murder a stage. In fact, you spit so much fire with your merciful capers that adversity's face will need emergency aid before it burns from the flames. I'm losing words to convey it. Fuck any person that hates. Jay, you're perfect and great. And I'm certain that Jay is fucking turning me gay. Seriously, before this battle, I was perfectly straight.
Love it.
I happen to think it's something about your circular frame and indeterminate weight which has gone and urged me to change. But even though, I'll probably go further to say that even though you probably have girls on a plate and every single motherfucking person in the world is your mate, I would still purposely stray. And I don't give a fuck if I get terminal AIDS like Freddie Mercury's case. I want to feel your motherfucking sperm on my face.
He's a good actor too. Like the way he works the crowd and like turns and looks away.
He's got a Christian Bale face.
Fucking great. And like those dudes are
good,
really good
for you,
really good at like sharing the trade-off too, like teamwork in it, filling each other's sentences and like straying away for a second.
So we got to be doing more lines about facials. Receiving them.
But yeah, that was thanks for sending that in. I think back in the day, or I had a harder
back
time.
Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore.
Oh, back in a bloody day in Shiznit. Oh, suck a dick, friend. There was like, I couldn't get on board with any like English accent style
raps.
The
first time we ever did a rapping on camera and put it on YouTube was dissing
Grime. I don't remember the guy's name, but it was like the Grime genre. We stink, dude. That was, it's not online anymore, hopefully. Before we did MC Showcase,
I know. I wish I could flex. Neither of us have that file. No.
But we
but
did.
I don't
like,
know what I rapped.
We rapped some garbage, I'm sure. Basically, dissing some unknown grime rapper in England.
I know the rapper. It was Chipmunk.
Okay.
I don't know if we were specifically targeting any person. I hope not, because
well, you there was sort of a
Lord.
Beef with him. Like you know.
I commented something on a video of him. And then, because, you know, that's what you do when you're 17 and full of opinions. You leave comments on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. Kill and, yourself. Go to, like, a Lil Wayne song, like, this isn't good. Capital isn't. And then some guy responded, like, you couldn't do any better or prove that you can do better or something.
Of course. And that's, again, how we started rapping.
Like,
oh, yeah?
Slowly looked at each other with a mischievous grin, like, this is our opportunity. This is our time.
The 8 Mile instrumental starts playing behind us. So we took our chance, and we blew it.
We only had one shot, but we blow.
In recent years, like I really liked Skepta's Konnichiwa album. Has a bunch of dope songs on it. And like even when they say battle, like there's shit. It allows you to rhyme shit with battle that you can't really do as well. But not having an accent. I kind of appreciate that. Maybe I get bored of American rappers sometimes, but knowing that, like, when you got a little twang, you'll battle, like, now you can sort of, like, consider different rhyme patterns for that. Because when I'm saying in a battle, like, I don't sound like that. So it's more limiting to straddle and cattle and prattle or whatever.
In a battle, turn you to a corpse.
And then you could say something about
take a saddle, put it on my horse.
You could say something about, like, the jacket you had on. But the jacket you had on, like, they have fucking accent.
Hat on.
Your hat on.
Jacket and a hat on.
Oh, bloody freak. It's all Greek to me. And then he says also you could do me a solid and say something like, quote, eating spaghetti in the Serengeti in a song. That would be great, TJ.
Eating spaghetti in the Serengeti.
Oh, bloody hell, I'm eating bloody spaghetti in the goddamn Serengeti and shit.
It's just Getty. Me and Getty Lee eat spaghetti.
I wanted to rhyme. I woke up. Sometimes you just wake up with something weird in your head, and I woke up with a Harry Belafonte and something about Big L Infante, like making my rapper reference, but it's both Elefante. Big L Infante and Belafonte. Is that whack or should I drop it?
Drop it, I don't know.
Okay, cool. As long as you're cool with it, because if you didn't like it, I was going to take it back.
You know, elephants have like hair on them, you know?
Sure.
They don't look like Harry Elefante.
Harry Big L Infante. let's do another question. We did that dude's thing. Oh, bloody hell. Bollocks, bogger.
Piss off, bagger.
Scared the shit bollocks. Out of me.
Term, Ack. Hold on. Just a quick question for you.
It's not that quick.
Take forever.
Be quicker.
Was your guys' like
he said
weirdest
it was quick.
Sexual for you? Just...
He's not being quick, and it's funny.
What was your... Hey, what's up, you guys? I got a quick question for you. What...
Oh, stop.
Was...
I'm a good cop. Him. Your... Go on, buddy. Let's go on. He said quick.
Wondering, what was your guys' like weirdest...
Oh, my God. Get
sexual
to it.
Experience. Or rather, what was the craziest place you've ever done something sexual? Like blowjob?
Craziest place?
Or just straight up sex?
In the ass?
Mine personally
remember that clip?
Was...
What?
What's the strangest place you've gotten the urge to make whoopee? In the ass?
In my keister. So he's got his personal story.
On my way back from snowboarding with my
ex-girlfriend.
That's
the only reason he asked
family.
Us, so he could tell his
we were like laying down in the back.
You ever ask somebody what you'd do with a time machine if you had one? Just ignore their answer, and then just so you could say what you would do.
And punch you in the face before he asked me this question.
Let's hear his story, though.
Girlfriend's family.
Girlfriend's family snowboarding.
We were like... laying down in the back seat, and she started like fondling me and shit.
She's
so I like threw my my big ass jacket over us.
Like the family's in the car,
giving me head while her sister,
okay,
and
now
her sister's boyfriend.
Now I want you to slow down.
In the middle seat, up front, like it was like an SUV. So we were in the back. There was like that, you know, couch type seat.
Yeah,
in
I know
the
what
middle
seat they
were
is.
Sitting, and the
parents
were up front.
Parents.
It was awkward, but like.
Awesome.
Yeah. Super hot.
Were you looking at mom in the rear view? Getting
what,
eye contact from
like
mom while getting blow contact from mom?
Like that. Yeah. Catch you guys next time you're in Philly.
So you're a G, first of all, for getting dome with mom and dad up
yeah,
front.
I'm trying to think of
pretty
anything
awesome.
I've been in that realm.
For sure.
And I can't, I don't think.
I'm going to take that audio clip behind the bushes in a minute. I'll be right back.
You know, like every high school, did you like, have a girlfriend who you got dome like while the parents are in the house but not
yes.
in the same car.
When I first started like kind of my first blowjob experiences at age whatever 16, 15, like uh-huh. you were younger than me when you got it.
13.
You started getting
baby.
The oral way before your boy.
13, baby.
But I remember, yeah, I would be visiting my girlfriend and their folks would usually be home and we'd like go hang in the basement
she
or
was
something.
Lexican.
Yeah, and then you try and hook up a little bit. Weirdest place though, like I don't think I've ever crossed that like line with family all surrounding me or anything weird like that. I've never really
actually, if I have, I don't remember. I got my dick sucked on the Wax tour and you and
by me?
We were in the back room, me and my girl, and there's like a bathroom. This is too much to tell.
Back room? Where are you?
We were in Florida, weren't we? And it was like it's like a room, and then right across the hall, the door is open.
Right, gotcha.
And then
okay.
right across the hall is the bathroom door,
I remember
which Wax was in.
Yeah.
Using it. So if he finishes and opens the bathroom, you know.
They're going to see something.
He going to see something.
And I'm in the other room. Like
and then you're like right on the other side of the wall. But
so yeah. But either, to your credit, I didn't know. I know. Nobody knew what was going on. You told us later that something was going on. So you played it pretty close to the vest. Nope, Wax didn't walk out after taking a shit and go like, whoa, what's going on? Point at you. Did he?
No.
He did, didn't he? When I was in high school, it was probably like the most kind of promiscuous-y. Like one time I had gotten blown in the rafters at the high school on like a weekend when I was there for a band thing. And it was like, you know, class not in session, but snuck off to somewhere like in the you go upstairs for gym or something like that. So that was kind of hot just thinking back on that. And then same like high school relationship. I don't know. We went to a car show like with her family or something. And it was like a lot of like... vintage cars in a parking lot, and there was an event, and you could buy snacks and fucking whatever. We snuck off into like a room. It was like a classroom again, and I got blown in some classroom, and it was just very like
nice.
It was very like someone might come, you know, me.
someone
might see us.
Yeah, so, I hooked up in classrooms.
That was kind of sketchy, but
I never like did anything more than just like heavy petting and making.
And a
out.
Lot of times, I think it's because you're so young, you don't have your own place or anything. You got to find these weird back seat of a car.
Oh, totally. This
so like now it's like I'm not weird. Or
when
not,
I was 13,
there's no weird spots.
We hooked up me and that girl more probably in our middle school than at either of our homes.
Yeah.
In the bathroom stall. Almost got dome in a bathroom stall in high school, but another girl came in. But that girl blew me at Tarkington, our elementary school, in like one of those doorways.
Outside, like the little cubby holes, or inside?
Yeah, there's like every door to the building has like a little it goes in a little bit into the building and then the door, so there's like a roof, a crevice in the back though by the playgrounds, like the one facing your house. Ack lives right next to this
and I was with binoculars looking out the window.
I was looking at your house and I was like,
I was looking back at you.
I was like, this is crazy. I could see my friend's house. Like, I'm outside with this, like, in the open air. It was like the first time I ever got my dick sucked in open air. One time, me and that same girl, dude, she was a champ. She was a champ, dude. I loved it. We were just like walking in a neighborhood. It was nighttime. And she just like dragged me to a random house. And we like crouched down like on the side of a house. And she blew me like in the bushes to some random person's house.
That's filthy and I love it.
It was awesome. And I busted. And she didn't even notice. That's how, like,
what?
Either my cum was super weak or she was, like, going super strong.
Like, I'm ready for another one.
That was, like, the hottest thing to me, though, was she was like, I didn't even notice. I was like, what?
You're so dumb. It's hot to me.
I love you.
As far as weird locations, I don't think I have any of those. Another thing, I remember when I was same age, you know, high school shit. When I was a kid, I had a trampoline in my big backyard in the suburbs, right? And then once I hooked up in the rain on the trampoline, which was not fun or nice. Flattering or, like, easy to find rhythm in. Like, you'd think, like, that'd be some porn fantasy. Like, yeah, we fucked on a trampoline and the wave. Oh, my God. It was terrible.
No,
it
was the fucking fuck on terrible. A trampoline, you'd have to, like, it can't be moving, you know?
And it was raining, so I was like, God damn it, I wish I were older with my own apartment.
I don't get how, if you could have fucked on the trampoline at your place in the rain, then you could have fucked inside.
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. Maybe we were doing backflips and it just happened. It was just a chemistry.
She lays down, like, belly down, butt cheeks spread open, and then you do, like, a backflip and land, like, flop onto her body, dick in hole.
She double bounces me. Well, there you go. I think you still win, buddy. Your story's better.
Yeah, I mean,
with the fam, fuck yeah, get it.
No, yeah, I thought you were talking to me, and I was gonna say,
no, this guy.
Still, we both lose to blowjob in front of the fam.
You currently hold the crown. If any other fans want to write in and keep it as a theme for, you know, next week's follow up, where's the weirdest place you've ever made whoopee? TPSreportsPodcast@gmail.com.
That's hot though.
Fuck yeah.
I would hope that you were making eye contact with moms in the rear view.
I'm snarling at her. Here's something in the same vein.
Wiener vein.
Good question. What is your guys' experience with groupies? And is it really as cool as it's made out to be? Thanks, buds.
Our experience with, first of all, like, if you're a single man looking for, you know, a one night hookup type of whatever,
it's really cool.
It's pretty cool, I would imagine.
Pretty rad. I mean, we've talked about this. We live in a day and age where it's not as cool as it probably once was, minus the probably. To be like Motley Crue and to meet some fucking, probably not even 18 girl who's, like, blowing you under the table in the club that you're hanging out with. And then, like, there's no social media, so they part ways, And then Vince Neil doesn't ever have to open his Instagram and see a DM where, like, he's tagged in a picture with the girl that blew him earlier. Now they have a digital trail to each other.
Sure.
That didn't happen.
Well, and then now the trail, look what's happening to everybody
Slug
in the public eye.
In my boxers.
They're digging back to the 80s and making sure we find out who did all this fuck shit and making sure they never make a dollar.
So
again.
I think that's one thing that makes it not even like good or bad, just a different animal than it used to be, mm-hmm. is social media and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, a groupie used to be proud to, like, I'm going to go to the show. I'm a huge fan of this band, so I'm going to suck the guitar player's dick.
Behind my husband's back.
And then I'm going
to
go home.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to my family.
continue my life. And I get this cool story every now and again of, like, oh, you like them? I blew the guitar player once. Now it's like this, like a meal ticket where, like, girls latch on. And now you got to have, like, it's to not have a relationship is supposed to be the whole perk of the thing.
Right.
I'm in the town for one night. We knock boots and I hit the road. And now it's like I hit the road and we got to continue communicating through text. I give a shit.
When I was single, I sort of enjoyed that a little bit.
I was jealous of your salve.
Oh, me?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm the worst at, like, always. I mean, I don't do it anymore. Because it's just also not that interesting,
but I got
a girl.
Unfortunately, the painful truth is, yes, we both have girlfriends now,
the
so
whole,
it's not
like,
a thing for
asking
us.
Asking for booby pictures and shit is just like,
over with.
I can't
dude,
do it.
You just reminded me somebody.
I never knew how.
I'll get to that next, I guess. But yeah, so that we're both.
Any tit that I ever received, I didn't ask for it. Not to say I wasn't happy to have received it.
Yeah.
I only received it because I didn't ask for it.
So yeah, it's not, and we're the Palmer Squares. Like, that's another thing. When, like, back in the single days, there might be a girl who was really interested. Sometimes I like that, and it's just fun to talk to somebody new, and you'll see where that goes. A lot of times it's nowhere, but like, who do you think we are? Like, when you said meal ticket, you know, it's just like some people right. act like it's like.
Well,
I don't mean
us as an example, but like, you know, some bitch goes and hooks up with
nothing to offer anybody.
Tory Lanez.
Sure. That's you
I don't know.
The other day,
I still got that Meek Mill Dangerous hook in my head. Is that even him? Because I assume it is.
Oh, I got this text the other day. Check this out. I forgot about this. Was weeks ago. It says, "Hey, Mikey, how are you? It's Jenna. I'm so ready for the weekend with a little booby shot. You see that?
Not bad.
Terms looking at it.
I'm looking at it vehemently, judging these breasts.
Yeah. So that I woke up to that one day. I was like, what's this number? And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm the wrong
girl,
number.
Like, a couple months ago.
I'm wrong number right now. So
texted me about, like, we met last night in a bar. Like, I wasn't at a bar the night before and shit.
Yeah.
It was very obvious from the jump that, like, oh, this girl's got the wrong number. Some guy gave her the wrong number. But she was sending me, like,
right.
You were really cute. We should hang out again tonight and this and that.
So there's nothing you can do with that. Like, well, I forgot about this shit.
Automatically, I'm suspicious of, like, am I getting lured into something here?
Yeah. Is this my girlfriend's friend testing me?
Or is this, like, someone who's going to bludgeon me over the head?
No, so I would, like, if I were a single guy, I might even respond and say, like, hey, wrong number, but Mikey's a lucky guy or something and be some creep about it. But, like, no, absolutely not. I saw that and I was like, ah! We're wrong, but bad.
Whipped your phone at the
prank
wall.
Caller. Prank caller. Get this.
Are you calling
here.
From a cellular phone?
But no, like I guess what I'm saying is, like, what do you expect from the Squares? It's not like we have a lot of groupie experience. There might
right.
be some girls that
squares.
Have been into us.
What do you think? There hasn't been a groupie experience where I was, like, too anxious to get it up.
Oh yeah, in most cases we don't make anything happen when we probably could have back in those days. But I think, like. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's probably better for everybody else because we don't have a lot of, like, even female fans, let alone groupies or anything. And when we were single, we never knew how to handle it very well a lot of times. And now it's not a thing. Like, someone will send that wrong.
I handled it pretty good sometimes, you know.
I had a couple of moments
pretty
myself.
All right,
you just
sometimes.
Said you were jealous of my something.
But early on, yeah. Wait, I was going to say something.
Were you, though?
Frig.
I could do another question while we wait.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say that, like, when you're on the road for fucking, you know, we've done tours that are, like, 70 days,
yeah,
60 days, 2 months. And when you're on the road, especially, like, in a fucking van with a bunch of other dudes for that long. There's a lot of like testosterone and male energy
sometimes
floating around.
Sometimes you want to release.
It's a bit of a morale boost, I think. You know,
yeah.
To just have a fun night with a girl and get a nut off. You get back in the van the next day like, whatever, man. Yeah, everything's good.
I'm tired. I'm sore. But you know what? I'm happy.
I'm having a good time.
I don't give a shit.
The day before, everything could have been a problem.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck this. Fuck that. That night, get a nut. You get back in the van. It's like, what's up, guys? Let's go get some coffee.
And then all the other guys hate you.
Right.
But no, that is a kind of, I mean.
And then everyone gets their nut off together.
And then as far as, like, keeping in touch, I'm, like, drawing on old memories. But, no, there wouldn't be, like, it's fun sometimes. And honestly, in my single days of the couple of experiences I had, it would usually be more than a one-night stand. I would keep in touch, and we'd oftentimes see each other again or something until that fizzled out. But there would be a minor period of we keep in touch, we text, we might visit each other one time.
I met my girl at a show.
And then it didn't work out in the end. But I because
we didn't hook up that night, you know.
The road can be so lonely. If you know, when I was single, if you met somebody, it's like, oh, like now I am texting somebody. This is new and it's fun and it's interesting and it's keeping me occupied in the van. And then you go home and you go back to work and then you go back to like real life and stuff. And then like you're now states away, hundreds, thousands of miles away and stuff. And you're just like, what are we doing? Like, how long is this little communique gonna last? It was like a fun thing. So I don't know. This is just my fucking minor handful of years ago experiences, but
she sends you titties and you text her back like, you're not my fucking mom.
You hit up your mom for nudes. But yeah, so I would say as cool as it's made out to be, this day and age, probably not. Girls probably wouldn't be as apt to go just do that, and guys should really be careful. Yeah, you guys
should. Always cool.
But you got to be careful nowadays, and if you're not, it's going to come back to bite you on Twitter or when you try and get a job or your movie's about to come out or someone's going to tear you down if you do this shit wrong,
right.
And you Motley Crue some underage girl, because that's fucking, honestly, never was cool. But if it was, that shit ain't cool anymore. It's not fucking 1981. And then,
I mean, if she was willing.
But there's,
you don't think there was at least a couple 17-year-old girls who just wanted to blow Prince or whoever and it was all right?
Speaking to
some people grow up fast. I don't know.
Speaking of wanting to blow a prince, when are y'all dropping the gangbang sex tape? That would for sure boost your fame.
What? Who's asking this?
Another fan.
Who's the gangbang?
Us, like me and you, and then others.
I mean, we've talked.
Or maybe just me and you, gangbang.
Before, about us trying to double team a girl one time. And
yeah,
I'm
not telling that story again.
I mean, you get the cool end of it. You came.
Yeah.
You, like, fucked her. I like, watched. You cucked me the whole time. I was cucked.
My bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, like, it just went awry.
Oh, that's great.
I was doing some things with her vagina, and then I look up, and
I'm down here giving her the old.
Yep. I'm yodeling in the valley, and then I look up, and she's fucking sucking on Matt's dong. And I'm like, I'm just looking at my friend's dong, and I like. I
and
thought
I'm looking
about
at
it.
You looking at it like that dude looking at his girl's mom.
And it's getting harder. I don't know. I just like my mind went off of what we're doing, and then I don't know. I lost the vibe.
I can only imagine that if I were in your position, I'd feel the same way. I would probably have noticed your dong and be like, "Oh wait, when I have sex, I'm not into other dicks."
We should have like prepped. And, like, looked at each other's dongs before we even went over there, you know? We should have been prepared. I don't think we were prepared.
Somebody else asks, how tall are you, motherfucks? You never come to Utah, so I'm yet to see you live.
I am 5'9".
I was going to say I'm 5'9", 5'9".
I don't know, dude. I don't fucking measure.
Hey, I'm an average-sized gentleman. How tall are you, motherfucks? Oh, dude, Swiggy's writing in.
Yeah, I saw that.
When are you going to be in Philly again? My boy Tommy Claghorn's going to be seeing you in Colorado. That's right.
Oh,
May 3rd and May
different.
4th.
He asked me how we got to be as good as Cool Keith and Ebsol.
That's the best thing about Swiggy is he always has his top three list, and it's us, Cool Keith, and Ebsol. It's weird.
It's a good top
three. It's like a lottery ball list. Like, they just picked three at random.
It's my top three singers. Michael Bublé, Lemmy, and Lenny Kravitz.
Lemmy, Lenny, and Bublé. But he says, it would be badass if you made a beat with my laugh in the background. I'd be down to spit some fire on the John.
Oh, frick yeah, dude. Make a bop with swigs.
Fuck yeah, it's bopping. Patreon.com/Palmer Squares for all your swiggy needs.
Like, you know, you had that jacket wrap.
Yeah.
You could easily make a beat out of, like, some swig laughter, for sure.
Granix on Instagram. Instagram asks, do you Palmer
Instagranix.
Do you Palmer Squares wear tiny chains? TCG Mafia, hashtag gang.
So, I'm like an aspiring member of TCG. I feel like
we brought them into the fold with Stank Face, and now we just want to be in their fold.
I feel like the uncool older brother who looks down on the cool thing his younger brother's doing and kind of like wants to be a part of it but doesn't know how to express that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a tiny chain, but I'm reluctant to wear it and then say tiny chain gang. I wasn't invited.
That's not us.
I haven't been initiated. I haven't been jumped into the TCG.
We haven't been dubbed Sir Acumental of
right,
Lancelot. But like I used to wear necklaces all the time. Like, remember that? That was a thing about me. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, you had a necklace.
I had like a decade period
of
necklaces all the time.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was the fucking Birkenstocks hemp necklace guy.
Yeah, you were.
I had a whole lot of hemps.
Yeah.
And I had one for a couple of years that I couldn't take off, which I don't even know what happened to it, but I loved it. It was the fucking steal your face with like a red marble in the skull.
Yeah.
And that was like fused together. I don't wear necklaces. I wear every now and again, depending on the occasion or the fit, I'll rock my grandmama's chain that she gave me or that I got from her.
She gave me posthumously.
Yes.
I inherited it from her.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just like a, you know, necklace guy. Now you'll wear one occasionally to fit an outfit or whatever or an occasion. I haven't worn a necklace in years, and that's, you know, just, it's kind of weird. Something's a part of your life for so long, and then it's nothing. Maybe one day I'll try to put my
just
application.
Decided. Fuck fish.
Submit my application to Chad and them for TCG. One more Instagram question. Do you think that transitioning into a more country trap style of music is a likely career shift for the Palmer Squares?
No.
So are we going to remix Old Town Road?
Yeah,
people are clamoring for it.
Are we going to make a fucking Happy Death Day version of our own?
Yes, we
are. We're just talking about this, dude. I don't see this as a trend that lasts. And no. Even if it was, no.
No, not for... I mean, it's way more of a term avenue than a us avenue if we're going to
really
shift anything.
I don't really infuse the two, though.
You're not infusing the boppage?
No.
Okay. Oh shit! I'm looking on Instagram now.
I like to play country songs on my acoustic guitar, and I like to rap raps into the microphone.
I just see that Big Wax announced
country
Los
album?
Angeles on May 9th, the first annual EOM birthday benefit. So just because I see that, and we're not going to be there on May 9th.
Yeah.
For anybody that can go to that, that's fucking awesome. And maybe if this is an annual thing, we can attend a future one. That's very
cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fuck yeah. I have one more question, and then we can just get the frig out of here. This is from Michael.
Sup, idiots. It's Michael from out here in Louisiana. I'm just calling to ask, you know, every time I go record, I get, like, nervous jitters, and my chest gets tight, and I can't, like, say stuff correctly the first, like, take. But after, like, 5 minutes, I get out of it, you know. I was just curious if you guys have anything that you do to, I don't know, like get rid of pre-show jitters or any rituals you do before you record to make sure that it comes out how you like it or anything like that. Other than that, y'all have a wonderful day and stop being ugly.
Well, I can't do anything about that, sir.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I can't just
that?
Stop being ugly, Michael. So he's talking about, he says recording and stage. So he says when he goes to record, he has like 15 minutes of like butterfly belly, nervous jitter, but he warms up. That's how I feel about stage sometimes, but not so much in recording.
No, I mean, maybe like we started recording together. So maybe if you or I didn't exist and we were just a solo thing and then had to take it upon ourselves to like go to a Classic Studios mm-hmm. on our own and pay for some time. Maybe then I could see that, but
we do have that luck.
We just always were doing it together, like since forever ago, and it didn't matter at all. No one was going to hear it but us.
We were in a privileged position this whole time as Palmer Squares, and even before we called ourselves that, because we always had like our friend there. There's always like my buddies there with me for the most part. It's So if you, we've said that before. Like being a solo artist would be way different than if we were a duo. We have like this friendly comfort, whatever history, chemistry kind of makes it. I don't know, less nervous. The show thing is different because then you're going in front of a bunch of people and performing, and you might be stage fright. But in a studio, I could totally imagine that if you're just new to it or alone or just don't warm up. I don't have any warm-up rituals. In fact, we both just take a big hit of weed and then walk in the booth, and it's probably not good for our sound right off the bat,
right.
But we feel like we're less
pissed
like
off. Not like warm-up in the moment type of things, but in terms of like knowing how you might want it to sound, when I'm writing a verse or I consider a verse done, I like to record everything at least a few times on my iPhone when I'm in the moment. Of it's still fresh on my mind and it's still something that just came out of me. I like to record it then as I know how each line, how I, you know, wrote each line intending to be delivered and shit.
Yeah, I honestly don't do that enough. I do that a little bit, but I don't do it
so that by
I
the
write.
Time you get to the booth, there's no question when you get to this line, how was I supposed to say that? Like, what inflection was this? You know, record it on your iPhone. Listen to it a bunch until you're like familiar with the song, not so familiar that you don't even need to read lyrics or anything in the booth. I wouldn't fault you for that. And stage thing, not really.
I remember we were
pace
on
around, take a dump, or just feel like you have to.
Yeah,
Wax taught us the.
I was just gonna say Wax was warming up.
Wax
does a lot more singing in his performance than I do, and it was like, but I saw him doing the, like minor voice warm ups, just kind of that. He was doing exactly that, and I do that a little bit now before shows,
tickles
just because that's all I've ever seen anybody do. But like,
tickles the mustache area.
Yeah, you should try.
That's
and
how
do
you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, that helps though. Just kind of get your voice warmed up for a minute or a couple of minutes, rather than just go in. That's one of my biggest. I don't know, my weaknesses in the studio especially is like finding my voice. It's so weird sometimes, and I write something, but I might not spit it and find my voice to it, and then I find myself in the studio recording it, and I'm getting frustrated now because now it's like, oh, this is more of a chill beat than I gave it credit for, and I can't really accommodate this chill vibe I'm looking to. I can't, and I just can't fit it. And then I start getting frustrated, and one of the hardest things for me is taking a break because it's always like, no, let me get another one. No, just let me do another one. And I'm not making any progress. I'm just fucking working myself up because it's like, I should have done this 20 takes ago. I'm mm-hmm. better than this. But it's a lot of times best. That's one of my rituals is trying to be better at stepping out for 5 minutes, having some water, maybe take a hit.
Like writes their verse when you're sitting there for a couple hours listening to the intro on repeat and shit. Nobody does that with studio headphones on and a mic in front of them that they can like practice into. You know, so you listen
or
to
at least we don't.
I don't think anybody does. And you listen to while you're writing the beat, writing the song. You listen to the beat, like, you know, maybe coming out of your home system or even just your laptop speakers and shit.
Yeah.
And it has a different sound, you know, and you get used to it one way, and then you get into the booth and it's like, well, my voice, now I'm hearing my voice over it and it's different than when I was at home writing it. It's like you have to refigure out how everything sounds.
Yeah, I don't have any rituals before recording, but I other than basically giving myself a mental pep talk of like, just don't flip out. Just be patient, and you're here to put the time. Like, sometimes I'll be like, I just feel like I should be able to drop this verse in fucking 5-10 minutes. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it takes me longer to figure it out, find my
I can
footing.
Count on one hand the amount of verses that I've laid down, like the final one where it was like less than a few takes. I can only think of one
yeah.
that I think it was the first one.
I probably have none that were the first take.
Right.
Sometimes.
And it stood out because it's the only one.
I've never left it at first take. I remember on our song.
And I can't remember what it was.
What the fuck is the mix? In context, we have a song with Will. It's called Expressions. He came to the studio. He fucking recorded that first try, listened to it back. And then we thought it was good. And he goes like, yeah, that was tight. You guys like that? And we were like, yeah. And I swear to God, Will did that first try. And it was just sort of like, whether you think it was out of the park or whatever, it sounded good to me. And I was like, God damn it, I've never done that in my life. Mm-hmm. Even if I go back and end up using the first or second take or something, I still end up going off and doing a dozen more. Like, and then going back and listening and going like, you know what? They were better earlier. I'm going to go with that one. I've never done one take, listen to it back and go,
it's also
nailed it. Never.
What's very interesting is we saw Will's lyrics that he brought for that song, and it's like it's like one, like a page out of a novel. There's no spacing or anything.
Right, we write our lyrics like line by line.
It's insane. It's just all, there's no spacing. How do you know where the breaths are and where I was supposed to? I don't know, man. I find that so interesting.
I think, I mean, just practice, just practice and persistence, and things will, you'll sound better over time. I think that's just inevitable. But pre-recording, not really. Me and Term just kind of, it takes us too long to get started. We're fucking around and telling stories with Drew and smoking weed. It's like, all right, we've been here 30 minutes. We got to get in the booth. Let's do something. Mm-hmm. Our ritual is just like procrastinating and fucking off until it's like, oh yeah, we're here to make a song sometimes. And then on as far as performing goes,
yeah. I mean, in some cases, we don't live together anymore. And then Drew lives in St. Louis now, and we don't see him for months. So we'll all three get to the studio, and it's like,
let's go.
Hey, my friends who I haven't seen in a long time. And, yeah, and it's hard to get out of like wanting to catch up with your friends mode and get right into let's fucking,
yeah, putting us
start cooking.
When you're more disconnected, and there's like, you, even right now, like we're together to do this podcast, and then when we turn the mics off, we're going to work on some music shit because we're together right now, and we probably won't be until, you know, next week's podcast or whatever, like when our business aligns us. So you do have to like, yeah, you just want to like catch up and hang. Like, there's shit I just want to like fucking like see if you watched a show and show you something. And
see if you see this hot ass bitch on people's court right now. Jesus.
Jesus Christ, okay.
Woo!
What's up, Kathleen?
Villarreal. She hot.
But then I start getting like, oh shit, we've only got a few hours together. We got so much work to do or else we're never going to write another song again.
She's pretty.
Well, it sounds like this is the end of the podcast. We're all distracted by the girl on TV.
I'm going to go jerk off into X toilet.
I'm going to go listen to that dude's voicemail about his snowboarding trip while this is on TV.
Jerk off into the toilet, like, I'll sit on it and jerk, and then you shoot like in between my leg. Like,
you want to borrow my potato peeler for your jerk? Just You've been listening to the TPS Reports podcast. TPSReportsPodcast@gmail.com and 708-797-3079. Save it in your phone as TPS Reports. Give us a call whenever you want. We'll play your voicemail, probably. Patreon.com/PalmerSquares. We got the Philly recap video out now. We got more Swiggy. Swiggy round two. We had the UBI tour, Swiggy, and now we got the Sickest Frick tour, Swiggy. He's going to be our mascot. But that's on Patreon. We'll make that public in the future. And again, we're working on something that should be available within a month, and patrons are going to get the first look at that. And we're actually working on a couple of things, and patrons will get the first look at all that. But
large tings, man.
Big tings. Watch how you speak on my name, Juno. You want merchandise? You can get 20% off by being a patron. And if you don't want to do that, just go to thepalmersquares.com/shop and pay full price. We got shirts. We got beanies. We got
hoodies.
We got posters. We got CDs. You want a hard copy?
CD? Nope.
And then we got some tour dates as well. So this Friday, April 19th, Westchester, Ohio. Free show. Free event in Ohio. So just show up. What's the name of the damn venue? Is it Blondie's? Is it the sports bar?
Blondie's.
At Blondie's, Westchester, Ohio, this Friday. And then this Saturday, we're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee.
420, man!
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, like, I'm high.
A Heart of Town Festival. We play at 6:50, man. So check us out. Heart of Town, Knoxville, Tennessee. We got a set there. I don't know how it's going to go over, considering I think everything else is going to be like folk and Grateful Dead music. And then we're going to come do our bullshit. but we don't have like hardly any fans in Knoxville. We need more. This is what we're doing. We're going out there and we're going to try and make people like us.
Let's all eat LSD and fucking dance and twirl and listen to some Grateful Dead songs. It'll be a
Let's do those like those glow stick things where you balance the
They weren't glowy, but I remember they were like...
They got the glow ones now, I bet.
Well, of course. They got glow everything these days.
Everything
but
glows.
When we were kids, I remember we were talking about... what's it called?
What are those? It's like you're holding sticks. Two sticks.
Two sticks.
And there's a third stick in the middle.
Stick, but it's got like dreads on both ends. And then you like flip it up with the other two sticks.
What's the stick game called? TPS Reports Podcast.
Let us know.
At gmail.com.
Hit us up.
So that's what's going on this weekend. And then if you're in Colorado, you'll probably want to know that we are coming there with Prob Cause, Denver.
Denver
on May 3rd. That's us with Prob as Junkyard Samurai.
Cervantes, other side.
That's a full headlining set. We're going to be playing like an
hour
of collab stuff, a couple of other, you know, just solo tracks, but it's all us all together for the first time.
I can't take my eyes off this girl, dude.
And then May 4th, Fort Collins at Greaves Boomerang Effect Festival with Cunning Linguist, Greaves, Dizzy Wright, and us with Prob again. Shorter set this time. We're not headliners. This is not our event, but we're really excited to be there. And Junkyard Samurai, we're going to be playing a bunch of collabs to kick that show off. Again, our buddy UBI, I believe, is rolling through town with his buddy Tech Nine on the Nina tour. So we might be at the Chicago show, might even cruise to the Milwaukee show just to be there and hang out and see some music. So if you're there, look for us. And then summer camp. It's the 26th of May. We learned that we play Sunday. So we're going to be there. If you want to get like the one day pass, the day for us is going to be Sunday, May 26th.
But
however,
you should just not be a little bitch and get all 3 days.
Get a 3 day pass, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they have a Thursday pre-party.
We'll be there all 3 days.
It could technically be four.
Hang out with your boys, do some things, play a little, what's it called?
Ukulele.
The bags.
Oh, cornhole.
Cornhole. We'll cornhole each other.
Cornhole us a drunk.
Good time.
And then going into June, we got Skankfest on June 20th. I think if any tickets are still available for that, for the comedy fans, I think it's just the one day, maybe the pre-party pass or the Sunday only pass again. We play Friday night to kick things off, and then we're going to be hanging out all weekend once again.
Oh,
so
boy.
If you're going to be there, if you're at Skankfest, look for your boys. Let's hang out. Let's smoke something. And then end of June, the 28th, Jacksonville, Florida. June 29th, St. Pete, Florida. And June 30th, Orlando, Florida.
Sunny Orlando!
We're working on even more stuff, so stay tuned for more dates. Subscribe to the podcast. We're on Podbean. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play until they get rid of it. Stitcher, just pick an app, and we should be there. Lastly, certainly not, Leesley, we got a song to play.
Oh, feels good.
Feels real good. Our buddy Drew, 420, while we're in Knoxville this Saturday, he's going to be releasing his follow-up to Feel Good Music. If you never heard his first album, Feel Good Music 1, check that out. We're on it. A lot of Stankface homies, a lot of cool features. A
couple of bops here and there.
Super boppage.
Bop City.
It is. So he's dropping his follow-up featuring another song by us. We'll probably play that on the podcast next week. So Feel Good Music 2 comes out on 420. Make sure to support Drew. You can pre-save it right now if you want. Or just
be bop-a-lua.
Write yourself a post-it note to go download that shit this Saturday, 420. Burn one. Listen to some good shit. And we have a feature on there as well. So that'll be on the Smoochie Gang playlist when it's out. The one for this week is already out, though. And this is Drew featuring our samurai brethren, Prob Cause. The song's called Purpose. This is also going to be on Drew's project. So, unless you're in Knoxville seeing us, this Saturday is all about getting high and listening to Drew's Feel Good Music, too. We're the Palmer Squares, TPS
and
Reports.
Jesus.
Podcast.
Jeebus.
Jeebuses.
Isn't it Easter?
Easter? What about it?
It's this weekend, dude.
So?
Get high, eat some fucking Easter eggs, dude.
Eat some eggs in honor of the Notre Dame Cathedral, dog.
Frick yeah, bud.
We'll see you next week on the TPS Reports podcast. Smooches.
We are just people, poets and politicians, straight from a golden goblet that don't have a pot to piss in. Yeah. Searching to find our mission, looking to find ourselves, but can't define what's been missing. Pissed off about the system, helpless, voiceless, and nameless. Can't adjust to these changes. Family need food, these wages. Low got no door, make pay, cause bro, angry and dangerous. I might do something
crazy. We are just people looking for a purpose. We are the
the same underneath the surface. Important to remember when you're feeling worthless. We are just people looking for a purpose. We are the same underneath the surface. Important to remember when you're feeling worthless. We are just people, really. Made up of all the same shit. Break it down to the base. Exist that we can't erase. Makes a daily arrangement. Do what we can to change it. Look in the mirror, face it. How would a mask and makeup? We could all use a little more time. With our head looking up at the sky. Promise that you could fly. Even do it without puffing a lie. How will you know if you don't ever try? Promise that you could fly. Hey. Just people looking for a purpose. We are the same underneath the surface. Important to remember when you're feeling worthless. We are just people looking for a purpose. We are the same underneath the surface. Important to remember when you're feeling worthless. Just people looking for a purpose. We are the same underneath the surface. Important to remember when you're feeling worthless.